Morning, everyone. Masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal. I've been thinking about that a little bit. I gave a talk several years ago about justice and equality. I'm going to revisit that a little bit. Kind of brought to mind was our VBS we had recently. John was up there doing his thing, talking about songs, and asked who wanted to come up front. And he picked a few people to come up front. And of course, one of the kids yelled out the phrase that many of us hear, "Hey, that's not fair." So that's what my talk this morning is about. Hey, that's not fair. Of course, John replied, "Yes, it is fair, because I'm the one who decides who gets to come up." I thought that was interesting. So I wanted to ask a question about fairness and equality. Which one would you rather have? To be treated fairly or to be treated equally? And are they, in fact, the same thing? I'm going to look at our society for a moment and see how our society views those 2 points. Our government, our society, was founded on an equity standard and not necessarily on a fairness standard, even though it's called justice, which is fairness. It's really founded on an equity standard. In our executive branch, we have our famous President Lincoln, who declared in the Gettysburg Address that our forefathers founded this country on the proposition, or dedicated to the proposition, that all men are created equally. Therefore, by extension, all men should be treated equally. And of course, that didn't happen at first, and it's taken time for that to become more equal, and still today it's not that way, but it is more equal than it was. In our judicial branch, you have the icon of justice who stands with holding the scales with their eyes blindfolded, weighing everything in the balance. Is it equal? What side is more? So not taking any bias into consideration, so that everybody is treated the same, everybody is treated equally. And of course, the legislative branch has to implement this system of equality, which is not very well ingrained in our society, even though we're supposed to be based upon that principle. So we need to codify it more in our laws. So laws are created to make things more equal for us. In the 60s, we had the Civil Rights Act that was put in so that those who would be treated less equally, minorities, could be treated more equally. We have the Equal Rights Amendments that went around several years ago that was supposed to bring women more equal treatment with everyone else. We've got the Equal Opportunity Employer Act. You see that on advertisements, that people are equal opportunity employers, meaning to bring minorities more equal treatment to everyone else. And we have other laws now that are being passed or pushed to being passed that bring other classes of people or other categories of people more equal treatment, because the perception is that they're not being treated equally. So we need to have laws that protect them. So equal treatment is the advertised standard in our society, but is it the same as fair treatment? And the answer to that is yes and no. It all depends on the situation. Some definitions of equality use fairness or justice as part of the definition, but it's not really. Again, it depends on the situation. At work, I have a large system that I support, and I have few people to do it. In the home office in Columbus, they have much smaller systems, but they have lots of people to support that system. When the work is doled out and we have the same assignments and the same deadlines to meet those, it's not very fair. When I continually tell them that I have lots of work to do with few people and they have a little work to do with lots of people, and so I say it's not fair. It's equal tasks, equal deadlines, but it's not fair because it takes me more to do. I mentioned the Civil Rights Act earlier. I've got a little personal story about this that I may have told some people before. When I was young in elementary school, the Civil Rights Act was passed, and so my school district was rezoned, and I was required to go from a school that was almost totally, completely white to a school that was probably predominantly black. And nobody was very fond of the situation. The people who were redistrict weren't fond of it, the people who were in the school weren't very fond of it, on both sides. And so they were trying to make the treatment more equal, the education more equal. Well, after about the second time I got beat up at school, I didn't think it was very fair that I had to go to this new school. And they didn't think it was fair that I had to be there, although their side was better than mine was. So from my viewpoint, it wasn't very fair. Or it wasn't very just, if you want to use that term. So we use an equality standard, but it may not be fair. It all depends on the situation. And why do we use the equality standard over a fairness standard? Probably because it's easier to judge. It's easier to tell if things are equal versus things not being equal. Fairness or justice is a lot more subjective. It all depends on your point of view. It's more open to interpretation. If I don't get what I want, then I don't think it's fair. Just like the child in VBS who didn't get to go up front, so it wasn't fair. So what people really want is both. They want it to be equal when that's to their advantage, and they want it to be just or fair when that's to their advantage. So what the standard does God use with us? Let's go to the Bible. How do we want him to treat us? Well, if you look at their pure forms, probably not either one. We want everybody to be saved or everybody to be lost. That would be equal treatment. Everybody to be saved, that's good. That's what God wants. We would be saved. We would like that. But yet, if we're Christians and we sacrifice for God, it doesn't seem very fair. And if we're lost, then that's not very fair either. So an equal standard is not very good for anybody. How about a fairness standard? Purely fair. And what is the definition of fairness? Legitimately sought, pursued, done, given, or earned. So non-Christians, by their unbelief, don't deserve to go to heaven. That's not fair. And we didn't earn our place in heaven, did we? By our obedience and by our belief in God, does that earn us a place in heaven? Is that fair? No, it's still not fair. We didn't legitimately earn anything. So again, we want to be treated both ways, depending on what's to our advantage. I want to look in the scriptures a little bit, and we're going to look at a few examples and their very famous stories and see what their application is. Is it equal or is it fair? In Matthew 20, 1 through 16, we've got the parable of the laborers. I'm going to read that one. It's a little bit long. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out again about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and what is right I will give you." So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" And they said, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, and the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." When those who came were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a penny. And when they received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered to them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" So this parable here, we have a parable of equal treatment. They're all treated the same. They all got the same amount. But some of the workers didn't think it was very fair because they'd worked all day and got a certain amount, and others had worked only a little bit and got a certain amount. And they complained about that to the landowner. And his response was a couple of things. First of all, he said, "Isn't this what you agreed to? I hired you in the morning for a penny. You were glad to have it. So you got what you earned. You got what you agreed to. You made the bargain. Take what is given to you." When we accept Christ, we agree to work for him, however long that takes. If it's a lifelong burden or a lifelong labor, that's what we agree to. If it's only a few days, a few hours, whatever it is, we agree to work for Christ to the end. We accept him, and that's our that's what we accept of him. So, if someone who doesn't work as long as we do gets saved, what difference does it make? Why would we care? Those workers who were employed in the morning were glad to have a job. I mean, they were glad to be working and earning some money, feeding their families. They could have waited till later in the day, but there's no guarantee that that opportunity would still be there. There's no guarantee that they would have the time to be hired and work for the landowner. So when Jesus comes knocking at our door and we need to answer him right away, we can't wait till later so we can do less work. We want to do the most work we can for God, because that's the bargain that we need to make. Not the bargain. That's the agreement we need to make with him. Because the opportunity might be gone. The second thing the landowner said to them was, "I can do what I want with what's mine," isn't it? God can dispense salvation however he wishes. It's not for us to be happy or sad about how he does it, whether we think it's fair or not. We all know what God's wishes are. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We know that God wants everybody to be saved. It's not what's going to happen, but that's what he wants. So if people are saved that we think shouldn't be saved, it's not for us to even to make that judgment. We should be happy that they are saved. Why should we complain when God is pleased? At work, we have this concept of alignment. It says that when the associates and the frontline managers and the senior management all have the same, are aligned in their understanding and expectations of the goals and the mission and the values we have, then everything gets done correctly. It's the best situation. The most work gets done. The most value is earned. Everybody is the happiest. We're all working toward the same goals. We need to make sure that we as Christians are aligned with God's goals, what his mission is for us, and his values. Not angry at perceived unfair treatment of us by God, but happy that God is being served, is being glorified, and is being worshipped appropriate. So let's look at another well-known story. It's the parable of the lost or the prodigal son, and I'm not going to read that one because it is very long. But we know the story. Two sons, younger, older. The younger asks for his inheritance, goes off into a foreign land, and squanders it all, ends up being in servitude to somebody else in a very bad situation, decides to come back to his father. He says, "I can be a servant to my father and be in a better situation than I am here." So he goes back, and his father sees him coming, and is happy as can be. His son is back. Goes, kills the calf, throws a party, has a great time because he's so happy his son has returned. The older son is out working in the fields, and here's the commotion, asks what's going on, is told what the situation is, and he's angry with his dad. "Why is this happening? Why are you treating him this way? He went off and spent all your money. He's come back. You never did any of this for me. I never got to throw a party with my friends. Why are you doing this for him? This is not fair." Not fair. Again, this is unfair treatment. It's not even equal treatment here, but it's unfair. So what's our lesson? As faithful, believing Christians, we are with God and sharing what he has promised. Excuse me, I left a point out there. What did the father say to his son when he complained about this unfair treatment? He said, "Child, thou art always with me, and all my things are yours." And he said, "But to be merry and to be glad, it was needful, because this thy brother was dead and did live again, and he was lost and was found." So there are two things here. Thou art always with me, and all the things I have are thine. We are always with God, and all that God gives to us, we have. Whether our treatment is fair or perceived to be unfair, all that we have, all that God has is with us. We have the church, we have our fellowship, we have the love of God, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word to strengthen us. All these things we have from God, whether life is fair or not fair. We need to always keep these things in mind and rejoice in them, be happy in them. Second thing he said was, "Thy brother was dead and did live again. He was lost and was found." Again, we have a lost soul coming back to God. God is happy and is glorified because somebody has been saved. Another soul has been saved. We should not begrudge another because of their salvation. The older son should not be unhappy because his younger son is getting stuff. He should be happy because he's back. He's rejoined the family. We should be happy when anybody comes to God, regardless of what's happened in the past, regardless of any perceived unfair treatment or reception compared to how we were treated, or how we were received. We should rejoice that someone else has come to God. Someone else is saved. The last situation I want to look at, we'll look in 1 Peter 2:18. "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward," or harsh. Now, if you look at different translations, you'll see different situations here. Some call them servants, some call them slaves. The situation is that they're indentured servants. They're not free to leave. They're subject to work and cannot go away. So we would call it slavery, call it forced servitude, whatever you want to call it, doesn't seem to be fair. I mean, of all the things that are against Christianity, you think slavery would be against Christianity. All the things that Christianity stands for, love, caring, giving, are not there. So we're supposed to serve our fellow man, but we're supposed to do it willingly, not forced to do it. But yet this situation is not condemned in the scriptures. In fact, there's at least four or five situations where they say, live with it, make the best of it. In fact, do your best for whoever it is that you're with. Ephesians 6:5, Colossians 3:22, 1 Timothy 6:1, and Titus 2:9, I'll read that. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. 1 Timothy 6:1, I want to read that. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So we're saying, work, even though you're under this bad situation, it's not fair, work anyway, because God is glorified by that. God is glorified by us serving, not complaining about unfair treatment. So we have these examples, and there are others, but I just want to look at those three. We have treatment that is sometimes equal but not fair, sometimes not equal but not fair. So what is the standard that God applies to us? Well, I think he applies both, again. That's the answer we always have to come back to, is that there's both. But maybe both not completely. He doesn't appear to use a fairness standard, if we look at these examples. He demonstrates that pretty well, but why not? Why doesn't he treat us fairly? Well, at first he doesn't want to, even though it sounds kind of odd. He doesn't want to treat us fairly, because if he treats us fairly, then we're lost. I mean, do we earn a place in heaven? No. So if he gives us what we deserve, then we won't go to heaven, and that's not what he wants. Hebrews 2:2-3. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? If we received a just recompense or received what we deserved for every sin and transgression, then we wouldn't be saved. We'd be lost. We'd have to go to hell. So if it was fair and it was just, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't be in heaven. And that's not what God wants. So we don't want him to apply a fairness standard to it, at least not totally, because then we would be lost. And second, of course, fairness in this world is not God's number one priority. Just, not that he doesn't care about us, but he wants us to be saved, not to be treated fairly. He's given us all the tools we need to survive in this world. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Again, he's given us the Word. He's given us prayer. He's given us the church. Those are the things we need to survive and get by any unfair treatment. What he wants us to do is to be saved. When you're a Christian, you're not going to have fair treatment. You know that. You know that coming in. Over and over again, the scriptures make that absolutely clear, that you're going to be persecuted and you're not going to be treated what's considered fairly by our standards of society. And we willingly accept that because we love God, want to worship him, want to worship him in heaven someday. So we're insured unfair treatment when we say, I accept Jesus as my Savior. So does he apply an equity standard with us? Yeah, he does. Matthew 5:44-45. By saying to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Good things happen to everybody. Bad things happen to everybody. God has told us that's what it's going to be. That's the equalness. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I return and saw unto the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to all. So the best aren't going to get the best, the worst won't receive the worst. Everything will be equal in that sense. However, in one sense of the word, you can consider this flip-flopping. You've seen lots of political cartoons about flip-flopping. I will flip-flop up here now. In one sense of the word, he does apply a fairness standard to us. Because one definition of fairness is proper under the rules. Proper under the rules. God is the ruler of all creation, and he created the rules by which we live. The rules are, I will send my son to die for you. Wash your sins away. If you accept him and are obedient to him, you'll be saved. You will be in heaven worshiping. And we'll all be worshiping there together. If not, you won't be saved. In that sense, he is fair because those are the rules. And those, he's done things proper under the rules that he has created. And he'll judge us by those rules. So that is fair. As long as we know what those rules are, and we all do, then it's fair that we are judged by that. But in the end, it's not really about equality, and it's not really about fairness. It goes back to what I mentioned earlier about alignment. Are we aligned with God? Do we want what God wants? Do we have the same values and objectives and goals that God has? Are we working toward His goals and on God's mission instead of our own? That's where we need to think about it. Not worry about whether it's equal, not worry about whether it's fair, but about whether we are aligned with God and wanting what God wants. Life was not going to be any more fair or equal as a Christian or not as a Christian. Does it make any difference? We already saw that before. The difference will come after this life is over. If you're not a Christian, you'll receive the just recompense of reward by the rules for every transgression, every disobedience, and nothing can save you. That is, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Only through accepting Him as your Savior and washing your sins away through baptism can you change your just recompense into a gift of eternal life. We'll have the opportunity to do that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can save you. You have to accept Him as your Savior. Be baptized. We offer that opportunity now as we stand and sing.